Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's a delight to join with you today on this broadcast, Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion. The program is designed to allow you, our listener, to participate with Q&A, question and answers. Therefore, let me remind you early on, you can dial 401-1413, 401-1413, that's 401-1413, get you directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that you can join in the dialogue and discussion today. We're going to be talking about a subject, the war on Christmas, the war on Christmas. Let me remind you that if you have seen or witnessed or you know of situations in our city, in our state, or where you live, where there is a war taking place on Christianity and on the church and on Christians and especially on Christmas, I'd love to hear from you today. Love to hear your input on it. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32 to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast is designed around and is emanating from the truth of the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? When we look at the Scripture, so often there are those that think, well, oh, that's just talking about Jesus. Well, it is. But from Genesis through Revelation, the Bible talks about all kinds of things that you and I are faced with each day that I call the issues in life. We're faced with things in the political realm, in the social economic realm, in the church, and in the home. So, ladies and gentlemen, anything that deals with the home of the church or with what is called politics, which you don't find that term biblically speaking, it's dealing with government and the way we interface with government, the governmental leaders in our nation. But, ladies and gentlemen, when we do so, we ought to do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It doesn't just contain truth. It is truth. It is the totality of truth. It is the very essence of truth. And so therefore, when we talk about issues, we deal with it based on the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the war on Christmas. Let me ask you a few questions or make a few pertinent statements before we enter into the essence of the dialogue and discussion today. I always say it's a wonderful time we think about Christmas. Most of us, most people, think about Christmas as an opportunity to get gifts and to give gifts. And many times we've become so commercialized in our nation when it comes to Christmas time because most of the merchants will push Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Most of the merchants will promote anything but the essence of the truth of the biblical reason for Christmas. But Christmas is a time, it's a season when we should pause and consider just what this holiday, holy day it should be called, what is it about? What do we celebrate Christmas for? I believe that many people, especially from a secular mindset, simply look at Christmas as an opportunity to watch football games or to drink some Miller Low Life and Bud Dumber and, as they call it, enjoy life in that fashion. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what Christmas is about. I believe that we have forgotten Christmas is the time that we reflect back on some 2,000 years ago, when God became flesh, when God came to this earth in the form of man. Christmas is the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Scripture, it is called the Incarnation. It is where God became man. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that God determined that the only way for a man to be saved is for man to be able to be rightly related to God. And the only way that is possible is for man, through the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to know Christ as Savior and as Lord. It is Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost, the Scripture says. But the birth story, according to my Bible, and I think it'd be the same in yours, according to my Bible, the birth story is the good news. Let me ponder for a moment and share with us some verses of Scripture from Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, beginning with verse 7. Speaking of Mary, and said, she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. Notice now, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That is the essence, ladies and gentlemen, of the Christmas story, that Jesus Christ came into the world, and that's good news. It is good news that Jesus was born into the world. It's good news that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sin. It's good news that Jesus Christ ultimately died on Calvary's cross and shed his rich red royal blood for your sins and for mine. It's good news when we think of the subject, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is good news, and it ought to be good news for you today. In fact, in Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter and the 21st verse, the Scripture says, and she shall bring forth her a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming on this earth is for the salvation of mankind. It is for you to be saved. It's for me to be saved. And the only way we can be saved is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the essence of the Christmas story, that Jesus Christ came into the world to die on the cross, to shed his rich red royal blood for your sins and for mine, that there might be a way for us to be related to God through his shed blood on Calvary. That is called biblical salvation. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing today, as perhaps never before in the history of America, an open hand-to-hand combat, an open all-out war on Christmas. And it's not just a war on Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. It's a war on Christ. It's a war against church. It's a war against Christianity. It is an open, in-your-face battle between God and Satan being fought out in the minds and the hearts of mankind today. It is a battle that I simply call the war on Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, a lost professor, a lost psychology professor, has made some astounding statements that indicates the open in-your-face battle of war against Christianity and against Christ and against Christmas. This article says a psych professor claims God lacked Mary's consent. A Twitter user who profiles himself as an associate professor of clinical psychology and sexuality studies at the University of Minnesota tried to apply the contemporary Me Too movement to the New Testament story of the virgin birth. Eric Sprankel, that's the professor's name, claimed the virgin birth story is all about, it is all an all-knowing, all-powerful deity impregnating a human teen. He says this is no, there is no definition of consent that would include this scenario, he says. To put someone in this position, he said, is unethical, and it's an unethical abuse of power at best and grossly a predatory situation at the worst. Now, I don't know of anything I've read in the past many, many years that's any greater of a stench in the nostrils of God than his so-called professor making that as a public statement. That for Mary to become impregnated by the Holy Spirit of God, which is related in Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, the 35th verse and following. I don't know of anything have any greater stench in the nostrils of God than that. That in and of itself is a good proof positive of the real battle against Christianity and the war against Christmas even today. Ladies and gentlemen, that war against Christmas is taking place and it's intensifying each year. And may I quickly say that the reason it's intensifying, I think, is because we as Christians sit back in silence. There's a mindset somehow, somewhere, I'm going to rush into the store, buy the gifts, get it wrapped, put it under the tree, and or hand it to my friend, relative, neighbor, or coworker, and my duty for Christmas is done. I think it's time we get our focus off the gift giving and the gift buying and the stacking of gifts and see who can give the greatest number of gifts. I think it's better for us to look at the greatest gift that was ever given, and that's the gift of Jesus Christ that's come into the world. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the war on Christmas. And you can call us at 401-1413. If you've got any insight or any questions or if you challenge this, I'd love to hear from you. If you don't believe there's a war on Christmas, tell me why you don't believe it. If you have evidence that there's not a war, tell me where that evidence is found. If you have evidence because of some store that you shopped in, I'd love to have you called. You don't need to call the name of the store if you wish not. But I'd love to know something about what you're experiencing in this market scenario in this Christmas season. Ladies and gentlemen, more and more stores do not play Christmas music today. I've said for years, if the store refuses to play Christmas music at Christmas time, don't even spend your money there. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's not your money, it's not my money, it's God's money that He's allowed to be in your pocket and in my pocket and ought to be spent in a manner that would honor Him. And if we spend our money in a store where they openly refuse to play even Christmas music, we ought not spend God's money there. Ladies and gentlemen, city after city across America banning public nativity scenes. In fact, here's an article that is basically telling it like it is. In fact, the subtitle of the article, War on Christmas. Civil rights groups is demanding that an elementary school remove its Three Wise Men display. On Friday's show, Pat Gray highlighted a story about residences in Newaygo, Michigan, who are frightened to defend, are fighting to defend a Christmas tradition that has been a part of their community since the 1940s. The Michigan Association of Civil Rights Activists has demanded that the elementary school remove its Three Wise Men display after a citizen complained and asked that the display be taken down. Ladies and gentlemen, it's sad to live in a society where one squeaking wheel, where one squawking mouth, where one God hater, one Christian hater, Christmas detractor can go into a store or go into a scenario and have something removed that the whole world knows is the truth about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This article says he claimed that a religious display on a public building is clearly a violation of the First Amendment, according to that belief. Another resident of that city said, "It's Christ's birthday, and you celebrate that anyway." And that ought to be the status of every Christian today that I'm speaking to. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, I want you to understand that we're facing a war on Christmas, a war on Christmas. City after city is removing anything that would have any vestige or any display of Christianity or spirituality. Just a few years back, right downtown in our city, in the federal courthouse building, the managers of the courthouse building, the ones that keep it up and do the cleaning and the repairs, et cetera, the management team, they had placed in the foyer of the federal courthouse building a fully decorated green Christmas tree. One complaint from an Islamic jihadist in our city, one complaint, and all of a sudden they were given directions to remove the tree. So what did they do? They put in a sterile-looking, aluminum-looking Christmas tree with no decorations, with nothing under it, with no vestige, no trimming that would even indicate that it's a Christmas tree. That's what's happening across our nation, ladies and gentlemen. Public schools are refusing to allow a Christmas theme in the classroom. There's a refusal in the classroom to allow candy canes, a refusal to allow a nativity scene, a refusal to allow any mention of the name Jesus or Jesus' birthday celebration. Here's an article that says, school banned Santa, Christmas trees, candy canes, and the colors red and green. A legal organization that specializes in religious liberty issues issues is warning, urging Nebraska school principal to overturn her directive that banned anything related to Christmas, including Christmas music, Christmas carols, Christmas trees, candy canes, and the colors red and green. The statement was the ban violates the U.S. Constitution by showing hostility toward Christianity. And ladies and gentlemen, that's something that I want you to understand today, that anytime this takes place, it is absolutely unconstitutional, and it violates the U.S. Constitution that shows that there should not be any hostility toward Christianity. It violates that restriction. But ladies and gentlemen, here's in this Santa Barbara school fray, if you will, things that are banned. Let me just read you the list of things that they have banned in the under the guise that it's against the Constitution to talk about Christ or Christmas, even at the Christmas. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I've said for years and years and years, it's a federal holiday. The calendar says Christmas. It doesn't say Kwanzaa. It doesn't say winter season. It doesn't say winter holiday. It says Christmas. It's the celebration, the recognition in our nation that we're celebrating Christ's birth. It is Christmas. But this school banned these items. Santas are Christmas items. Clip art, anything, any worksheets that shows anything about Christmas. Christmas trees in the classroom. Elves on the shelf. Christmas carols. Christmas music, scholastic books that are Christian-related or Christmas-related, making a Christmas ornament as a gift, candy canes, red and green items, anything that would be considered a reindeer, Christmas videos and Christmas music or characters from Christmas music or movies. Candy canes were banned because historically the shape is a J for Jesus, they said. The red is for the blood of Christ and the white is for the symbol of his resurrection, the principal wrote. This would also include different colors of candy canes, the principal said. Liberty Council, and I'm thankful for Liberty Council. I'm thankful for the stand they take. I'm thankful for their pro bono battle against anything that would be violation of our religious liberties and constitutional values and freedom of speech that we find in our Bill of Rights. Liberty Council said it did not want the principal to be removed from her position. It only wanted the policy to be changed. They go further to say, in the misguided attempt to be inclusive, by eliminating all traditional elements of the federally and state-recognized holiday, the effort to comprehensively eliminate Christmas symbols is wrong. Nothing, they say, the letter added, prohibits public schools from teaching objectively about religions or about the holidays with religious significance, like Thanksgiving and Christmas. Nothing prohibits Christian schools to play Christmas music at the Christmas time and having a mix of sacred and secular songs relating to Christmas, the Christmas holiday. As part of a balanced Christmas music program, a classroom assignment for having relevance to Christmas is not banned and is not wrong at the Christmas season. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a shame, it's sad, when there's not a recognition that Christmas is a federal holiday. Yes, it is exemplifying the birth of Christ. Yes, it is talking about Christ coming into this world. Yes, it is talking about, it is representing God incarnate, God come into flesh to be with us. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the war on Christmas. We're seeing candy canes viewed as Christmas candy and is rejected in the public schools. Children are not allowed to sing Christmas carols in school. City parades for Christmas will have Santa Claus but will not allow a manger scene. The name of Jesus is considered offensive in the schools, even at Christmas time. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem in America today. Back a number of years ago, one of the former anchors with Fox News, his name was John Gibson, wrote a book, and I've been intrigued by that. The title of the book, and I'm looking at a picture of it here, The War on Christmas, How the Liberals Plot to Ban the Sacred Christmas Holiday is Worse Than You Ever Thought. And in the blurb about his book, he says this, and may I quote, "The United States of America, a nation overwhelmingly Christian, literally any sign of Christmas in public can now lead to complaints, litigation, angry protest, threats, and bruised feelings. Every year, the limitations get tighter and tighter and spread to more and more communities. Far from the big liberal cities now, it's all over America. Secular liberals say they're just protecting the constitutional rights of non-Christians. who don't want to see or to hear anything about Christmas. But what about the constitutional right of millions of Americans who simply want to celebrate the traditional holiday without insulting anyone else, but also without having to hide behind closed doors to celebrate Christmas? Ladies and gentlemen, we're faced with a war on Christmas today, and I believe it's time Christians sit up, and as I call it, stand up, speak up, smell the coffee, and realize what's happening to us. I've said for years it's like dropping the frog into the water. It's not boiling when you drop the frog in the water, but you turn the heat up, and as the heat intensifies, the water begins to boil, and the frog hadn't got sense enough to realize it's being boiled to death. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, we as Christians are in that pot of hot water. It's the cauldron of burning warm water becoming hot water, and we're not realizing and recognizing that we need to stand up, jump out of the water, say something, speak up, and do something. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand there's a problem with the war on Christmas today. Here's an article about the University of Missouri shared this letter with some faculty and students, employees this week. It says the colors of red and green, blue and white, silver are that which represents the winter celebration period, and it ought not to be. Images of Santa, wrapped gifts, and bells are also deemed as religious non-approved items. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, the mention of Jesus at the Christmas play sparked an uproar. It's coming out of Mendon, Louisiana. A Christmas play will go on in the Webster's Parish, even if the mention of Jesus, even if it mentions Jesus. A nonprofit organization made the announcement hours after receiving complaints about the religious references during a play at their school this week. According to the Junior Services League, some people who watched the play raised questions about the use of the name Jesus. As a result, according to a Facebook post, public schools will not be allowed to attend the play this year. This article further states, after our first performance this morning, several in attendance felt it necessary to report us to the mention because of the mention of the reason for the season is Jesus Christ, a statement that was posted on Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, across the nation, in the public arenas, in our city parks, in our city squares, in the public school system, the public schools, including colleges and universities, the name of Jesus is forbidden. The anything that would recognize or would be resembling Christmas and the Christ of Christmas is being out of hand rejected. City parades are absolutely against anything that would allow the prominence of the season to be focused on Jesus Christ. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, which is put out by one of the universities. It is called Religious Diversity and Holidays. It is for a suggested rules and guidelines for the school to follow. And I find it fascinating, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. It says, consider neutrally themed parties such as winter celebration. Another statement says, keep the theme of any invitations neutral and non-religious and not any references to any religious holiday. Thirdly, it says, decorations, music, and food should be general and not specific to one's religious beliefs. Also, be mindful of any dietary restrictions that provide you can provide alternatives for others. Further, this list of suggestions for celebrating winter celebration and not Christmas. Individuals may display expressions of their religious faith in their own personal space if it does not have any meaningful public function and not in the public arena or not seen by the public. The footnote of this display of diversity rules, in general, the following are not appropriate for gatherings of display time. Santa Claus, this is a list now of things that are not appropriate in the celebration of Christmas at this university. Santa Claus, angels, Christmas trees, Star of Bethlehem, nativity scenes, bows, wrapped gifts, menorahs, bells, doves, red and green or blue and white, silver decorations and themes. Red and green are representatives, they say, of the Christian tradition, and blue and white and silver are the Jewish traditions of Hanukkah. So these ought not to be displayed in a public forum in a public area. Ladies and gentlemen, we have gone to the point where I believe we've lost our minds in relationship to what is viewed today as being okay. It is wrong for the Christmas holiday, the Christmas season, to be demeaned at a war on Christmas that's trying to tear down and destroy the most holy of the holy days in the calendar year for the Christians across America and around the world. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
This is not a random event. It's carefully orchestrated, and it comes from one single source. Now, people will say at this point, what I'm about to say, well, you're a conspiracist, and you have all these wide-eyed, goofy theories. But the truth is, the attack on Christmas is too well orchestrated. It is too intense. It is too pervasive to be anything other than originating from a point source. And that point source is from Satan himself. 1 John 5:19b says, "We're of God, but the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one." And as Satan approaches his hour of judgment and doom, his strength is going to increase for a while. I think that's what we're seeing right now. And
absolutely,
it's manifested on the attack on Christmas, also on the attack on the family. Our solution, at least in the temporary realm, since God has ordained these things to happen, our requirement is simply do what he told us to do, which is to share the gospel in season and out of season.
Amen.
If I had done a better job of telling everyone the reason for the hope that's in me with meekness and fear every time I had the opportunity, we wouldn't have a successful conspiracy against Christmas or against the family. So the answer right now is because of the wonderful thing that God did in the fullness of time and giving us this baby Savior is to tell the world about him. And I think just on the strength of what you said this morning, I want to redouble my efforts to reach out to people and say, Jesus is the reason for the season, and Jesus is the answer. In fact, he's the only answer. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that comment. You're exactly right. And that touches on some of the things I wanted to wrap up with in the broadcast today as we've been talking about the war on Christmas. What can we do as Christians? What should we do? How should we respond? I say that we should proudly say Merry Christmas in every store, in every place of business, with everybody that we greet during this Christmas season. Let them know that we're not ashamed of Jesus. Let them know that we're not embarrassed by the name of Jesus. And if a business is not playing Christmas music, speak to the manager, ask them why, and if they say it might offend someone, let them know quietly, politely, but pointedly that if it offends others because you're playing Christmas music at a federal holiday, Christmas season, I'm offended that you're not, and therefore I'm not going to shop with you. I'm not going to spend God's money in my pocket for the celebration of Jesus' birthday if you're not willing to play Christmas music. We need to pass out gospel tracts, ladies and gentlemen, Christian tracts that will exemplify the Christ of Christmas. Let everyone know that Jesus Christ is born, that we're celebrating the birth of Christ, God incarnate, God come in the flesh, and we're celebrating it with joy because of Jesus coming. Don't be ashamed to let everyone know that you're a Christian and rejoice over the celebration of Christmas. If the store or business does not have up Christmas decorations, if they're not willing to decorate for Christmas, if they're not willing to say Happy Merry Christmas, if they, back several years ago, the Target department stores refused to allow their workers to say Merry Christmas as the cashiers would check you out. They refused to play Christmas music. I've not been in a Target store for about 15 years as a result of that. I refuse to go into any store where Christmas music is not allowed to be played, where Christmas decoration, if any, is very, very minuscule or small. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we as Christians ought to take a stand. We need to be salt and light. Remember, let's say to everybody, Jesus Christ is truly the reason for the season. Jesus came into the world that we might be related to God. Jesus came into the world that man might know God. And the only way that we'll know God is through God himself, God incarnate, God come in the flesh, the man Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. And it's his birthday that we celebrate Christmas. Let everybody know, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. It's Jesus' birthday. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.